It's time to talk about many things. Our guest is kind of the Swiss Army knife of media, passion projects, and more. Part of the massive coverage of National Letter of Intent Signing Day on the Pac-12 Network. Follow all he's up to on Twitter. Use the handle at Yogi Roth. We welcome back Yogi Roth. Yogi, how have you been?
I've been great, man. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, maybe where you are, it's a little gray and gloomy here, but being from Jersey and living in Eugene, I'm used to it. I want to start with the update, Life in a Walk, obviously your project inspired by your dad's illness. I see now there's merchandise on the site. If folks go to lifeinawalk.com, it's now available on Delta. I mean, how about an update? Because it seems this thing has just expanded and continues to inspire.
Well, you know, you're a big reason why, so thanks for all that, man. I mean, you've championed this simple message and simple film for a really long time, and for us, as you know, it was just a whole movie that just kind of took on a life of its own, man, to be quite honest. And Delta liked it. They put it on every plane around the world. It just started airing in theaters in Australia, and I think it's just because it gives people a nudge to spend time with the people they care about, and that's really it. I think you saw it. Once you watch it, you don't really care about my story or even my dad. You kind of reflect on your own. So I think overall, that's probably what I'm most proud of, is maybe to be a subtle nudge to people to spend time with the ones that matter.
Let's hit the rewind button. As you were winding down your high school career, and I know you walked on at Pitt, but, you know, this day, this time of year for a high school player aspiring to the higher level, what do you remember about the recruiting process, what schools you were talking with, and what made you decide, you know, I'm going to give it a shot with Walt Harris and the Panthers?
Well, it is a beautiful day, and we're going to start that on our show on the Pac-12 Network when we talk about that. And I really think that in the times that our country's in right now, sports are a bridge. You know, they're a bridge between law enforcement and the community. They're a release for people. And this generation of hundreds and thousands of men today that are making this decision and signing this piece of paper are those role models for 12-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 17-year-olds that are all dreaming about this day. I dreamt about it. And when it was my turn, you know, I decided that I didn't want to sign at Delaware or a Princeton. I wanted to play big time, and I wanted to play against the guys that I saw on ESPN, and I thought that I could. So I think it's a day where athletes really get introspective, you reflect a little bit, and you transition pretty quick. Because tomorrow, you're not getting all those texts and all that love. All of a sudden now, the director of football operations is calling you and saying, okay, academics start this day, the weight room guy is giving you the workout program, and nobody's kissing your butt anymore, and that's the process. And I think that's the beauty of the difficulty, because now you're no longer the star. You're a member of the team, and the ones that can adjust to that, I think, are the ones that played. And that happened with me. The other receiver that went to Pitt, he couldn't play. He couldn't transfer because he didn't handle it very well. The lack of being a star, and I didn't care about it because I wasn't one, and it allowed me to play in my second game, and away it went.
Awesome. Talking with Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. Obviously, you're heavily involved in the Elite 11 quarterback camp. I saw on Twitter you posted about the Washington commit. Jake, is it pronounced Hayner?
Yes.
Obviously, the Huskies seem pretty good with Jake Browning, but what could you tell us about this young guy from Danville, California?
You know, Jake's a really special guy. You go to Elite11.com, you could watch the documentary series from last year, and he's featured in episode 2 and 3. And he was extremely under-recruited, had no Power 5 offers, came to the Elite 11, and just he had unique arm talent. You know, and I always look at quarterbacks as who has a unique skill set, and it could be in their mind, it could be in their feet, it could be in their arm, could be in their intangibles, but they have to have something unique. And his was his arm. He's got a special arm. If you look at him and he was 6'3", he'd be offered everywhere in America. And I think in the ever-changing game now, which is the spread in football, you don't have to be 6'4", Sam Darnold anymore. And this kid's competitive temperament, when you dive into him, you know, he comes from a really successful family, but a really competitive one at that. And he just kept fighting. You know, he's got a great line where he says, you know, I wouldn't let 2 inches define me. You know, I'm going to come out and let it rip. And he is that type of guy. It won't be easy because UW's just getting going, I think. You'll see them continue to become a more national brand in terms of recruiting quarterbacks specifically. Jake will be up for all the awards next year, Jake Browning. So I do think that Jake Hayner's a nice get for them. He provides depth, and I think his skill set is Kellen Moore-esque. It's Jake Browning-esque in terms of not being 6'4", NFL prototype, but guy that's going to walk in, command respect, understand the system, be able to deal.
I want to hit on Oregon. Obviously, last season started with a grad transfer starting in Dakota Prukop. Then Coach Helf and his people decided, let's go to a true freshman. Folks here pretty excited about what the future holds, but when you see or watch him play, what's your read on Justin Herbert?
A dynamic. You know, his skill set is, he's unique. You know, he's got length to him. He's got a huge frame. When you talk to coaches last year specifically, they talked about his acumen in the room in terms of understanding their system, being a quick learner. I think in that system that they ran a year ago, you had to see things quickly. When you study him on film, you know, we just went through and we study every completion, every pick in the offseason. What do they do in the red zone on critical downs and distances? And he didn't make a lot of mistakes. He'd be late at times, but that's to be expected. But I think his future is really bright. You know, they bring in Braxton Burmeister, a flip out of Arizona. I think a big recruit in terms of getting other guys. But right now, I look at Justin Herbert, and he's going to have a really successful career. I'm excited about his future there in that system. His arm talent's unique. He can do a lot of unique things, and he's never had an offseason. You know, this wasn't a mid-year kid a year ago, so I'd expect him to come out and thrive in the spring and compete for that job and be the guy for a couple more years.
We're talking with Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. On your Twitter account yesterday, you made a pretty bold statement that the coaches and their staff in this league, you think they've really scored. I think you actually said this might be the deepest class you've seen conference-wide in 8 years. What makes you think this day is so special in the league? Bill Walton refers to the Conference of Champions.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I've been studying this league for 15 years now, whether it was coaching or as an analyst, and I don't think it's close top to bottom. You know, back in the day, there were the top-heavy teams, obviously at USC being one. Over the last couple of years, it's been Stanford, SC finish as well, UCLA, and maybe you can argue Oregon here or there. But what has happened this year is dramatic. I think Colorado's a huge reason why. To me, they got a class that anybody would take in this conference. The way Oregon finished was dramatic. Oregon State, they beat Oregon on a couple guys, which hadn't happened in a really long time. I think overall it's a great class, and specifically it's because of the offensive defensive line. I mean, I rank every position by top players. So I'll evaluate, I think this year was like over 330 kids. And in the offensive line, I try to just name the top five. I got 12 guys that I think could interchange in the top five. And I would never seen that before. And on the defensive line, I can say the same thing. I think Jalen Phillips is the number one draft pick in the National Football League in 3 years. The defensive end at UCLA. Look at Foster Sorrell, Walker Little. Those two guys, if you were going to predict a Hall of Fame career, you'd predict them. You know, so look, you haven't done anything yet, but overall coming in, this is the deepest recruiting class I've seen in 15 years or so.
Wow. A couple final thoughts for Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. I kind of get grief up here when I say this, but I think the Pac-12 is at its best when USC is a power. I mean, love Oregon, Stanford, but they're the blue blood. And, of course, they finished like secretariat last year. And I know that program's near and dear to you. What could you tell us about this class and, you know, how set up USC football is a factor for the immediate future?
I'll say this, and I'm going to talk about this on our show. The number one thing that holds USC back from thriving over the last couple of years is competitive depth. You know, you looked at their classes, they've always closed well, but they haven't had guys competing for the starting corner spot, competing at the receiver spot. You knew who was going to start, you knew who was going to play. You don't know that now. And the way they finished this year, first year, there'll be a full 85 scholarships after a signing day, is insane. You know, you look at who they got up front and the gets that they've gotten, they're dramatically imposing players. You know, they've gone all across the country. They stayed in their footprint as well. I mean, overall, you look at these players, they're legitimately big time. And I think the biggest note that I've seen from them, UW, UCLA, and Stanford's always been doing it, is they got bigger. And USC, when they looked at Alabama week one and got smoked, they said, wow, we need big dudes. You know, 5'10 wideouts are nice, but let's get 6'3 dudes. You know, 5'11 safeties are nice, but let's get Bubba Bolden. Let's get Isaiah Pulamau. These are 6'2", 6'3 safeties. They're big time, man. They are coming back, and I think this class is the signature part of why Clay Helton is going to be there for a long time.
Well, that probably send a chill up and down the other 11 programs' spine. Finally, Stanford. I think it was undercover that they ended up winning 10 games last year. David Shaw, I mean, took the baton from Coach Harbaugh and just been magic. What about the consistent caliber of the Cardinal now and how they just keep cranking out quality recruiting classes and contending teams?
Oh, they're awesome. I mean, it's the Stanford way is what I like to call it, and it's fascinating the way they recruit. You look at even, you know, taking a couple guys from the state of Washington, and I'm sure UW fans are frustrated with that. You know, they take an old lineman, they take a dynamic athlete, they get them late. But Stanford's different, right? You walk into anybody's house, whether they're an athlete or not, and you say you got an opportunity to go to this university, they're going to pause. And I think what they've done, and David Shaw has an amazing TED Talk where he talks about how we can change the paradigm of college football. And you don't just have to be a great player or just be a great student and an average player. You can do both. And they've done that. When you look at the players they've kicked out to the NFL in the last couple of years, and I look at this class from Davis Mills, who's, I think, top quarterback in America, Foster Sorrell, Walker Little, Drew Dahlman, just on the offensive side, the guys up front. I think Sione Lund is the best athlete overall as a football player in this entire class. And then Connor Weddington, who is a freak. They're comparing him to Christian McCaffrey. So overall, this group's getting going. Now, they got to play better at quarterback. They know that, but they've recruited well there. And it's just another sign that the Stanford brand's not going anywhere, and they're hard to beat. I mean, they don't really lose guys overall.
He is Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. Always a lot going on. Day-long coverage, Elite Eight quarterback, life in a walk, always something up his sleeve. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Yogi Roth. Hey, man, I always appreciate your time and getting an opportunity to catch up. You be well, and I look forward to our next chat.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate all the support. It's awesome.
All right. You have a good one, Yogi.